So we have the age-old problem in politics of how to satisfy the private demand and needs and the public demand and needs. What we do now is we zigzag in this country. We have a series of presidents and administrations that catered to the individual, Reagan Bush type, and that makes people happy for a while. Then you neglect the social problems, say you neglect the environmental problems because you put all the emphasis on the individual. So then people get and say, well, we got to do something for the social problems. So Clinton comes in and says, we got to do something about health care, we got to do something about that. So he gets elected, you see, he's going to do something about that. Mm-hmm. And then throw those guys out, you see. They're waiting there for him to falter, you see, so they can get back in.
Yes.
Hopefully, if Clinton doesn't do too well, if the economy is reasonable, he'll probably get elected, or somebody else will get elected, but it will be moderate. We need a few. John Adams, way back in history, talking about history, Arthur Schlesinger, in my little book, I was quoting him, History of American Politics, points out the zigzag pattern. You have three or four regimes of left, and then three or four right, and three or four left. And that way, we do take the moderate little, but it's almost impossible for somebody to campaign in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
Target Trinidad, Trump. For instance, if I was campaigning, and somebody said, what do you think of atomic energy? Are you for or against atomic energy? See, they ask me that. What are you going to be your policy on atomic energy? I would say, well, I'm bullish on atomic energy in the long run, but the kind we have now is flawed technology, efficient thing. So I think we should quit using fission reactors until we find something better. Yeah, but are you for or against it? I said, I'm neither. I'm against what we're doing now, but I'm not against what we might do. So therefore, let's find a better way if we can explore atomic energy. But inevitable like a brick, you see.
Mm-hmm.
But he's wishy-washy, see.
Yeah.
You don't know where to stand. So it's easy to get out on the right, you know, holler that way. It's easy to get on the left and holler that way. And so that's what you get when you get into politics like this Marx thing. You end up, you've got for or against. We have to decide we're going to have this bill or we ain't.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, too many things have to be. That's the trouble with law and with lawyers. It's either win or lose. No such thing as a compromise.
Mm-hmm.
Although out of court settlements usually a compromise. That usually better than having a long, expensive suit where somebody wins and somebody loses.
Yeah.
So we come up, we need to replace confrontation with mutualism. What senior people do a lot, what they should do, is write commentaries that try to expand their expertise to a broader audience, or we might say share the wisdom of age with the broader audience.
Mm-hmm.
So you see that most people, when they retire, they become interested in doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the best things that have been written about scientists about their life or their retirement, they're always writing in a broad context, you see. Molecular biology would write, trying to write how all these things, you know, really would affect, you know, the whole world. Genetic engineering is important. And so on. So we do that. So I have a whole bunch of essays. Eventually, maybe to get somebody to edit them, publish a book called Holden's Essays. But I have some pretty good ones based on experience, like we talked about experience from this, based on intuition, based on knowledge, based on attempts to view the whole. Because when you're a young person trying to get tenure, you can't afford to be too broad.
Mm-hmm.
You know a little bit about a lot of things, and be promoted on some detailed depth. You don't get a degree. Thesis is never a contribution to very much of anything because you don't have time. You may have a holistic viewpoint and you try to put study of this and that organism, if you're going to study a bird or something, put it into the form of its system at least, but you can't really do a 2-year thesis. forest.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you have to have the use. That's why I'm talking about settlers. Nice and down. These students all working on this part-time work.
Mm-hmm.
And plus professors who can keep the continuity going. So, more holistic education to supplement, not to replace our fractionated or separate education. We need more experts. We need experts in general.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard for somebody to me to answer the simple question is, what is my field?
Mm-hmm.
Or they just say, I say, what's that? I say, it's the old definition of study of organism and environment, the new definition is to study the household. Ecology is no longer just organisms and environment, but it's study of the house in which you came from. A small house, large house, very sized house. There's a lot of analogy there between human house, you have to have a kitchen, you have to have a waste disposal.
Mm-hmm.
Inputs coming in, food. Organize a house is not too different from what nature organizes their houses. The different components. Those parallels help people understand things, but then that means that there's a direct connection.
Mm-hmm.
The need and demand for a house is simple. And a house doesn't mean anything unless you consider what's coming in and going out. The house itself. Without inputs and outputs. So foresters now are struggling with the idea of managing forests as if it's part of the landscape. They have no idea how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So they talk about this and they fuss about it. How do you move the system? And some union bag people are coming up here next week to talk to me about it. They've been told that they must even do ecosystem management. Now these are just ordinary foresters.
Mm-hmm.
Trained to manage forests. And so they say, they wrote me, we got to come up and talk to you to find out what this is. I gave some names of some good foresters who practice ecosystem management. No more about the details than I did. Well, all I'm going to say, all ecosystem management is just opening up your system and taking on this part of larger systems and your management that you're going to be doing, or consider things outside the forest, like watersheds and things. This is supposed to come. What's going out of the forest, what's coming in, who's using the forest. A lot of people want to go to the forest not to cut wood down. They want to go there and enjoy the forest as a recreation area, or as simply as a nice place to relax, study nature and so on. So all of a sudden, the other uses of forests have never occurred to. And our school of forestry here for many years, what we call a production forester, only interested in output.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have what we call a conservation forester. Well, does that make a difference? When we interact with him real well, we have constant fights with the elements.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ecology, and all those well-meaning environmentalists, you know, they don't know anything about forests.
Mm-hmm.
Forests are a big business in Georgia. Lots of money there. Bonds, then somebody shows up in South Georgia. If you have a bunch of, say, 1,000 acres of forested land, make more money leasing it out to honey. You can't cut any trees down. Because you cut trees down, you got one chunk of money, then you have to wait so many years.
Yeah.
But every year, others will pay you as much as $10 an acre sometimes, which is more than you make out of their money. So then they begin to wake up that there are other values of forests. That's just a start.
Mm-hmm.
And the public has to make it known that they value forests, not just for the wood that goes in their house, and that they want to see some high quality forests, not just some pulp paper. Really recycled paper is beginning to be less demand for plantations, mm-hmm. more demand for good timber to build good houses and bridges and whatnot, pressurized hardwood timber, but it was a better bridge than a steel bridge. We need thousands of little bridges. It's a prefabricated bridge. You can bring it on a truck and put it in place in about 4 hours. But better than building a steel bridge or masonry and all that stuff. So he said, then things change. So all of a sudden, it won't be long before hardwood trees will be more valuable than pine trees. But fire farms are trying to get rid of all the hardwoods. We used to joke about the foresters doing on the needs and there's only two kinds of trees, you know, there's pine trees and reed trees. What you want to do is get rid of the reed trees.
Yes, it's cut all
the way. Yeah, you want to get rid of them, poison them, cut them out. Pines, which you can't promote forever because nature intended them to be temporary. Mm-hmm. They don't build up the soil very well. So you can perpetuate pines forever, you won't have to start fertilizing them. So what you have is a crop. Actually, a plantation is not a forest, it's a crop. It should be treated that way, which means that you have to sign some chemicals, or you have to mulch and do things. And you have to practice conservation, agriculture, and forestry. You see how these things come together.
Mm-hmm. So,
and to the human, things are not properly related. See, strange to say, the U.S. Forest Service isn't the Department of Agriculture. For a plantation forest, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
But for preserving old growth forests,
yeah, that's not
there. Yes, it would be in the Department of Interior Division. So maybe the separate farming treaties goes in agriculture. Preserving and managing forests for other purposes would be in the Department of Interior.
All right, well, I appreciate your time.
Let me show you my rope.
And this is the end of the interview with Dr. Odom.